Good morning. Welcome to our session this morning. Take our seats and we'll begin. It's a pleasure to introduce to you a very special guest that's joining us who will do the invocation. That's Father S.C. Oliver from the Church of the Incarnation. We thank you for being with us. I had a chance to be with him for the Christmas service at the Church of Incarnation. And I've got to tell you, although it's 350 days away, mark your calendars. You want to be at this next year. Father, thanks for being with us. All rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, who has made all the peoples of the earth for your glory, to serve you in freedom and peace, grant to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with thy gracious will, and send down upon the city council the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all who live in this city. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Mr. Titsky, would you like to lead the pledge? Check your screens.
Dallas is known for its maverick spirit.
One more thing.
In Dallas, it's rodeo, not rodeo.
One more thing. Dallas chefs are the secret ingredient.
Dallas has mastered the culinary arts.
Come check it out.
Dallas has great museums. Don't forget to come to the world-renowned Latino Cultural Center.
We're gonna rock it down to Greenville.
Golfing in Dallas is a slam dunk.
At the south side of Mockingbird.
When I'm in Dallas, I like to get some mild pieces.
A heart is beating down in Dallas.
You gotta check out Dallas' nightlife.
They're beating faster day by day.
One more thing. In Dallas, we're big on hospitality. The people of Dallas will treat you like family. And one more thing, our diamonds are flawless. Our stars play on ice.
Dallas is a super city.
And one more thing, Dallas has a great, cool music scene. It's Ice Ice Cave.
And one more thing, the food is phenomenal here.
There's nothing like chicken in the box.
The Mexican restaurants are unbelievable. And that's why it's our status.
Different kinds of people.
We are a diverse city.
Dallas is the best place to ride.
The urban arts to win the
fair. You'll find a new Dallas every time you visit.
Straight to victory.
And one more thing. 1 in 11 workers in Dallas works in the hospitality industry.
And that's big for your business.
And one more thing. Planning events in Dallas is fabulous. And one more thing. We have plenty of flights at two great airports.
And one more thing, Darden, Dallas, it's all connected.
One more thing, 25 Fortune 500 companies are headquartered here in Dallas, and we know it's a great place to hold a meeting.
In a fine tower,
Dallas Opera at the Winspear Opera House.
And one more thing, Dallas is perfect for convening readers.
One more thing, Dallas fashion is always in style.
And one more thing, the architecture.
And one more thing, the Dallas Convention and Visitors Bureau are the stars that will make your meeting a success.
And one more thing, my meetings love coming to Dallas.
And one more thing, at the Dallas Convention Center, we're
at your service.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
So, Madam Secretary, if anybody has the courage to speak after that, there are.
Okay. Good morning, Mayor and Council members. We have several speakers signed up to speak this morning. I don't know if my mic is out, but anyway. Our first speaker this morning is going to be David Gibson, followed by William Hopkins, Brad Kirby, Jerome Howard, and Marvin Crenshaw. While our speakers are coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending City Council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You'll see an amber light, which means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. You can state your name and your address for the record, sir, before you begin speaking.
I'm David Gibson. of 7030 Fair Oaks Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75231. Mr. Leppard, actually, I thought this was the wrong place to be, but it's exactly where I need to be, where ethics is discussed out loud. You see, I have the solution to mid-air collisions. My immediate problem, Lincoln Property Company, or rather their officers. In your hands, the pertinent dates has been circled in red, allowing them to validate the truth. Their claim, it's a valid report. My claim is slander. That debt was paid in full more than 3 years earlier. A statement to that effect is included, authored by the very business that I'm supposed to owe. Ronald Reagan said it best, progress is our most important product. President Obama said of Hitler, he would not come to a negotiating table, paraphrasing, nor had the officers of Lincoln Property Company in good faith. My request is that you ask the officers to print a retraction to what they have done. And yes, the BBB was unsuccessful. I'm asking in the interest of ethics and integrity. And in the process, we, the president, you and I can end the needless deaths of our nation's veterans. A simple nod will be sufficient. Oh, well, bizarre Big D, the prelude to Black History Month.
Thank you.
Next speaker, William Hopkins, followed by Brad Kirby.
Yeah, my name is William Hopkins. On the agenda this evening, Mr. Leppard, y'all got a guaranteed loan from the CDBG, money for the poor people. Item number 68, House and Community Service. Y'all finna give the white people downtown $5,500,000 for some $300,000 apartments. And you're going to use the CDBG money to do this with. I've been asking for a playground for Matty Nash for about 13 years, just for a simple little old playground. The playground at Matty Nash is so pitiful, they got three little hoppy horses that you have to be like 4 years old. If you're over 4 years old, you can't ride the hoppy horse on Matty Nash Park. They got two swings. I've never seen nowhere in America with a park with two swings. But the black kids in West Dallas got two swings. Y'all finna give the white people downtown $5,500,000 of the poor people money to build $300,000 apartments downtown. Deborah Walker, it was for to help the poor people in West Dallas. Y'all gave some of that money to the apartments over there by the West End, by the Farmers Market. Y'all got some apartments over there by the Farmers Market. Y'all used the Deborah Walker decree money for that. You sued the RSR lead smelter for money. I went to a funeral with my friend, Lester Freeman. He died. He called me from Parkland. He wanted me to pick him up at Parkland. And when I picked him up about a couple of weeks ago, he was telling me that Parkland told him he had a high level of lead. 2 days after I picked him up from Parkland, he died, just fell dead. The people dying in West Dallas. And I've been trying to 13 years to get Laura Miller, Ron Kirk, Barbara Mallory Caraway, everybody to help with the people that's dying in West Dallas. You had a private meeting, Tom, with Judge Louis Sepulveda about the lead in West Dallas. It was a private meeting, and you told the people not to tell nobody. And while you was telling the people not to tell nobody, Lester Freeman died, Tom, while you having your private meetings. And don't nobody say nothing. The blacks, the Jewish people, the Hispanics, don't nobody say nothing about the people dying in West Dallas. But I'm going to take this to the FBI and try to see if I can help some of my friends that's dying in West Dallas, since you whites and blacks and Hispanics won't say nothing about the people that's dying, the poor people that's dying in West Dallas. Thank you.
That's okay.
Our next speaker is Brad Kirby, followed by Jerome Howard.
Y'all wait just a little, if I could wait just a second and let y'all get the memo she's passing out, if that's okay, before my time starts.
You can start speaking and we'll get to that, sir.
Good morning. My name is Brad Kirby. I live at 2110 Irving Boulevard, about a mile just north of downtown. Beautiful sunset on the buildings every day. Polly Madrano is my representative here. I've been here many times before talking about dogs being stolen in Dallas, and there's no real laws that protect our dogs. The police tell me that there's no law as far as trying to find the owner of a dog once you get in your possession, no matter if you take it from somebody's backyard, no matter if it's just it's a stray dog on the street. There's no law requiring people to take a dog to a licensed veterinarian or to shelter to check for a microchip or a tattoo. You cannot see those right off the bat. And anybody can take off the tag and say there were no tags on the dogs, and the police have to believe them. The police said they would enforce this law. They like this law that I present. I had a lawyer write this law. It's not just me writing the law. I couldn't do this good of a job. It was a very good dog lawyer who wrote this. Every day, there's more dogs being stolen. This has become a mushroom kind of a business, because it is a business, because we're making money selling our dogs for bait, or just selling it for other purposes, or just selling it to other people, or keeping them, because it's not their dogs. It's our dogs. And or they get the dog, and the dog gets away, and it becomes loose on the street, and it does become a stray, and it does not know the neighborhood, and can't find its way home. All I want is not going to make anybody pay any money, is that you can take any dog to a licensed veterinarian and have it checked for a microchip without being charged anything, so it doesn't cost anybody any money. You can take it to the local shelter. They'll scan it for a microchip and check for a tattoo without charging you anything. I just like to have some kind of law that we can use against people who are taking our dogs and not trying to find the owner. That's basically what the law is all about, and I'll let y'all have it from here and ask me any questions.
I appreciate the very reasoned approach to it, and putting an option, putting a suggestion in front of us as opposed to just a problem. Ms. Madrano, could you pick this up? Yeah, I think Quality of Life is the right place to do it and pick it up, maybe visit with some of the other council members. And then Mr. Perkins, if you would go ahead and perhaps advise Quality of Life on various languages and that sort of thing. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Our next speaker is going to be Jerome Howard, followed by Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Howard? Mr. Crenshaw?
I'm Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I would just like to just speak into the public right now, to those in the community. One of the reasons that I have not moved on the Elsa Faye Hagen street name change is because I was waiting to see the process for the Cesar Chavez street name changes going to go. So we have just one at a time. But I would just like to read this into the record. February 23rd, 1999. Dear Marvin, just a note of thanks for you, your tireless efforts, and the hard work to make the proclamation and J.B. Jackson Jr. Day a reality. It was wonderful. Of course, we have always known that once you get an idea or a cause that you're committed to, you go nonstop, no matter the obstacles or rejection. We need more like you and Councilman and Lipscomb. I know I speak for J.B. and all of his friends. We're proud of you for all that you do for the community. Please convey our thanks to Diane, meaning Diane Ragsdale, and all of the others who helped you accomplish your daunting task on behalf of J.B., me, and all of his friends. Special thanks to Ms. Hassan, Mr. Lipscomb, for administrative assistance. She was a very special young lady. Sincerely, Elsa Faye Hagen. Now, when that happened, Ms. Higgins was here in the council chamber, had been here for many of years. Later that day, I called and I asked about how Ms. Higgins was doing, and I was told by those who were here that Ms. Higgins was so ill that they had to help her out of the council chamber. But when Ms. Higgins, Ms. Nasinski,
you can address me.
Well, you can address me. It just throws me off.
You'll need to address me.
But anyway, when Ms. Higgins was here, she pulled me to the side and said, Marvin, I need to ask you something. Albert Lipscomb has paid his dues in the city of Dallas. This is the time when Mr. Lipscomb was on the house arrest. You can't just do everything, but Albert needs some help. I was working as a consultant in South Lake, Texas at that time, and there was a person who also knew Judge Kendall out there who had approached me and stated that he had heard Al Lipscomb was a good man and he needed some help. And would Al Lipscomb take a plea? And I told him I didn't think so. He came back to me again and said, well, you know, you need to go up to the city secretary's office in South Lake and look at Councilwoman Kendall's record, which I went by Mr. Lipscomb's house, knocked on the door and told him that exactly what had happened and went out there and got the information. But the bottom line, if I can just sum it up on this, Mr. Mayor, is to all of those... to all of those, Ms. Higgins paid her dues, too. When no one else was down here speaking for the poor, those who did not have she spoke. So we're going to go forward there.
That's all of the speakers.
Yes. Mr. Carraway, did you want to add something?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Newman, if you would, and if Paul Dyer is here, someone from Park and Recreation. Mr. Newman, I would like to commend you for the hard work that you've done in West Dallas. I want to do that as we celebrated the homegoing of Miss Maddie Nash, and you so very kindly recognized as the entire council a moment of silence on our last previous meeting. But if you would, there's a brand new recreation center over there under your leadership, and it was put in motion even prior to you getting here. Can you just give us a little update about that exciting, beautiful recreation center in West Dallas, the Nash Davis Rec Center?
Mayor, please.
Oh, well, it is very exciting. We're going to, I'm pretty sure that we're going to open it to the residents of West Dallas. It's over $4.3 million out of a bond program.
Right.
And Ms. Nash was involved in a lot of the design of the rec center. It's going to be a great complement to the Field of Dreams along Hampton, the YMCA, the Lake West YMCA Center along Goldman, and it is a very positive thing. We intentionally kept the outside structure of the building intact.
Right.
Where the gymnasium was is going to be turned into several meeting rooms and other rooms. Totally gutted the bathrooms because they were not ADA sufficient in order for whether it be seniors or others that need assistance to get in and out of the bathrooms. But we kept the structure of the building in place while absolutely re-renovating the internal space. It's a great investment to the West Dallas community.
When do they anticipate opening?
It's Paul here. In 2010, what we put on the marquee is reopening in 2010. So neighbors and residents in West Dallas know that it's coming this next year.
Terrific.
Actually, this year.
It's a great addition.
Very much so. And we're very pleased. And the citizens were involved, Mr. Caraway, thank you for bringing it. I'll keep talking, Mayor, cut me off. The citizens in West Dallas were involved in a lot of the planning on that. Watch it, Ron.
Right.
The citizens were involved in the planning. We had several community meetings to make sure they were involved in what we're doing for both the seniors and also the young kids.
Super.
So it was a collaborative effort.
Good. It's a great deal.
Yes, over $4 million. Over $4 million, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Our first item is the amendment. The amendments of December 9th. Those have been distributed.
Mr.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. In regard to our agenda for this morning, there's a number of items that were on the consent agenda that have been requested by individual council members to be considered individually. Let me run down those for you very quickly. Item number 8 on the regular agenda, Ms. Margolis requested that be considered individually. Item number 12, Mr. Atkins. Item number 15, Mr. Atkins. Item number 18, Ms. Hasso. Item number 21, Mr. Newman. And then over on the addendum, item number 1 on the addendum, Mr. Newman. So the ones we'll consider individually will be 8, 12, 15, 18, 21, and 1 on the addendum. With that, could I have a motion for...
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we accept all of the items not listed on the consent agenda as well as the addendum. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. With that, item number 8, Madam Secretary.
Item number 8 is a 3-year service contract for maintenance, testing, repair services, and parts for the uninterruptible power supply system and emergency power distribution equipment at City Hall.
Ms. Margolis, please.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this out because it's over $1 million and it is a single bidder. And so I wanted to get more information about why we couldn't find other people who could also do this and therefore bid on it.
Ms. Cook, please.
Good morning. And we're not really thrilled when we get one bid only either, so we do everything we can to avoid that. We had, before we even put out the specifications for bid, we had pre-solicitation meetings and had vendors come in. I think there were at least 3 vendors at those meetings. After the bids went out and were advertised and distributed to everybody, we had a pre-bid meeting, which is typical for us, and there were 10 different vendors at that meeting, which is a great show up for that. And they're there. These are vendors to get more information on the project, get some questions answered if they have any, and before bids are due. When bids were due, we only had one in the system. And we can't tell from our computer system who that bidder is, but we can tell before we hit the closing time that there's only one. We automatically, our process and purchasing for quite some time, when there's only one or two, we automatically extend, give more time, and go additional outreach. And we did that. We contacted the vendors that had come to the pre-bid meeting and asked them, you know, we knew we had one bid. We didn't know who it was yet because we hadn't opened it, of course. And we've got various responses as to why they didn't bid. As they got more information, they discovered that some weren't able to provide all the services that were requested in this bid. Others indicated they didn't work on the specific type of equipment, the manufacturer, the brand of equipment that we had. One vendor had said they came to the pre-bid not really understanding. They really just sell the equipment. They don't maintain the equipment. Another vendor was concerned of the age of our equipment. They weren't ready to work on something that was more than 20 years old. When we got the bid, let me back up a step. The specifications were developed with an outside engineer. We hired somebody to write the specifications to be sure that we did this right. This is a critical system. We want to make sure we have backup power. In the event that the power to the building goes out, we need to quickly, instantly move to our generator. We need it to work flawlessly. Otherwise, we're without all the critical services in this building, probably most notably our 911 service. So it's critical. We hired an engineer to do the specifications to make sure we were buying the right thing, if you will. After the bid, the one bid came in, we turned back to that engineer that developed the specs and asked him to review it for price reasonableness. He determined the price was reasonable. We wanted to be sure we didn't have somebody, as we say in the business, trying to hit a home run. You'll see from time to time we'll get multiple bids and one of them's way out of line, way above everybody else. We think that's somebody trying to hit a home run. We wanted to be sure we didn't have that on this one. And the engineer reviewed the specs, again, all the work that needs to be done, and the engineer told us the price is reasonable. So then we bring it forward for consideration.
Okay, thank you. And there was no way to divide it up so that it needed to be done by one contractor?
It really did. We wanted one person, one company responsible for the whole system, just interrelated parts.
All right, thank you. And I move approval on this item.
Mr. Newman, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Dave, was there a previous contract in place?
There was not. This was previously, I'll say, either done by city staff or not done. A full test hasn't been done in more than 8 years.
Whoa. So, and this equipment is over 20 years old.
Yes, sir.
So we've been running 20 years without this type of service maintenance plan? Or are we kind of doing it ourselves?
We've been doing it ourselves, but we haven't done a full load test, which is a critical piece. It needs to be done. We briefed the finance committee several months ago. And about some of the aspects of this, we need to bolster up our efforts here.
No, I'm very supportive of that. I'm just a little amazed that we didn't have anything in place at the time. And, you know, in the small company environment, you never appreciate the whole redundancy factor until you need it. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, why didn't I have all those sort of things in place?
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. I'm glad we're doing this. I'm a little surprised we hadn't done it before, but okay.
We have a motion to second. Mr. Tiske?
Yes, thank you. Well, just a quick comment, Mr. Mayor. I'm certainly in support of this. Shortly after I got on the council at one of our meetings, it came to my attention that we were not doing this. I'm sorry to say it's taken 4 years to get to this point, but I'm very pleased that we are finally at this point and we'll have a contract because, as Mr. Newman said, you know, it's like if you don't back up your data, you know, when your hard drive goes down, it costs you way more. If we don't have full backup power at some point, if something happens to the electrical system downtown here, and we don't have a standby generator that's ready to power City Hall, it will cost us way more than the price of this contract in lost time and, you know, potential crisis situations for the citizens of the City of Dallas. So I'm certainly glad it's here. And I would just urge to get the contractor on the job as quickly as possible. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, item number 12, please.
12 is a contract for facility pavement repairs to the Northeast Transfer Station located 7677 Burroughs Avenue, Southwest Transfer Station located 4610 Westmoreland Road, and McComas Bluff Landfill located 5100 Youngblood Road.
Mr. Hackney, please.
Fall asleep.
Would there be any hardship or time? Are you on a timeline that this could be deferred to January 27th?
Yeah, two weeks deferral
won't affect this project.
Yeah,
it's okay. And I know we split this district, so I would prefer this for 2 weeks to bring it back up on January 27th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 15, please.
15 is the interlocal agreement with Cooperative Personnel Services, a California-based public sector agency, to designate a representative to serve on the CPS Joint Exercise Partnership Agreement Board. And as a board member, the city is eligible for grant funds regarding organizational initiatives to include training, uniform testing, and other consulting services.
Mr. Hackett, please.
Dave Etcher, please. Carlos, the reason why I pulled it, I have some concern, and I have been talking to David, also the civil service, pertaining to my concern. And David, could you just kind of walk through it briefly, exactly what this interlocal agreement we are trying to enter into?
Sure, Mr. Atkins. CPS is an organization that is identified as a public agency as a result of the state of California identifying back in 1985 to have all human resource training and development conducted with an outside agency from the state of California. So they have now been recognized as an interlocal team agency, and they have board members. The board members consist of only public sector agencies across the country, and they have now invited the city of Dallas to become a part of their board agency. As a result of becoming a part of their board agency, it would allow the city of Dallas to apply for grants that they administer, and also they also allow us to apply for various other funds as a result of the revenues they bring to their organization.
And by doing that, would they also, would, when we do a search or whatever, testing, whatever, that will also cut our costs? Do we have any savings by using the service?
Yes, they provide a number of human resource services, and as a result of being a part of their board, we are then granted, if we use their services, a discount for services.
Okay. Colleagues, I pull this, colleagues, but my main concern was with the Civil Service Board. You know, I have a passion for the Civil Service Board. And by doing that, in so far as I have talked to the attorneys, and I wanted to add into this, so far as have some changes, whereas pursuing to the city charter, the City of Dallas Civil Service Board has certain responsibility, and whereas the resolution is not intended to and does not authorize any deviation from the Civil Service Board role under the city charter. So those is what I want to add to the resolution.
The
amendment.
Yeah, we don't have any concern with that. So
right. Yeah. And indeed, the charter is going to trump anything we do anyway.
That's correct.
Yeah. It's been moved with the amendment.
Seconded
by Ms. Hill. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, number 18, please.
18 is a 3-year agreement with Belo Foundation for the display fountain at Ferris Plaza located at 400 South Houston Street, for the term January 14, 2010 through January 13, 2013.
Ms. Hossel, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I pulled this item because I had a real concern that the revenue was going to be lost, but primarily because there is a current partnership with the Dallas Park Foundation and the Dallas Park Department. So my question is to ask why the revenue wasn't going into the Park Foundation, and I've got a satisfactory answer from both Paul Dyer, Forrest, and their staff, that there is still a good partnership between the Dallas Park Foundation and the Dallas Park Department, and that these revenues will go to augment what currently is in the Dallas Park Foundation as a subfund from BELO Foundation. So basically I just had a concern that I want to make sure that the Park Foundation was working with the Park Department anytime we bring in revenues. Most of the time our partnerships take those revenues through the Park Foundation so that they can take advantage of the 501c3 status. And it was explained to me that this was specifically targeted to certain maintenance. So I will go ahead to move to approve this item.
Gotcha. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Thank you very much. Item number 21, Madam Secretary.
21 is a professional services contract with Hayden Consultants for the schematic design through construction administration services for the expansion of the existing parking lot at Extol Recreation Center located at 1355 Adair Street and at Park in the Woods Recreation Center located at 6800 Mountain Creek Parkway.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. No issues, no problems, council members. I just wanted to reiterate publicly to citizens down in Mount Creek that change is coming, positive change is coming to their rec center. This is the Park in the Woods Rec Center at the corner of Wheatland and Clark, of course. For a long time, Mayor and council members have had challenges with parking and lighting. And there's a T-intersection at the corner of Wheatland. Paul, if you would come up too, please, Paul Dyer. At the T-intersection of Wheatland and Mountain Creek Parkway, and one of the things the council did about a year ago is put $100,000 of seed money for planning to work with the county to widen Mountain Creek Parkway. So these are all positive things around that rec center, Park in the Woods Rec Center. Paul and Willis and I met the other day to go into some of the details of this, and so I'm very pleased about this. I think we want to make sure, I didn't mention this the other day, Paul, we want to make sure we put something up in the lobby of the rec center to say, it's the same sort of thing, Duane, it goes to your comment before, what we did with the Nash Davis Rec Center, we put some notices up so that citizens using the rec center would see what sort of things were coming. I think, Paul, that the same sort of things a little bit down the road here, so citizens see what's coming as far as improving the parking and the lighting. That would be very helpful.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Carraway, one other thing. Mr. Carraway asked me this morning about when do we anticipate the Nash Davis Rec Center opening. I know it's 2010. Do we know a date?
It's within the next few months. I'll get you a date
on that.
Okay.
All right, that's fine. But it's we're talking first half of this year?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I just wanted to very publicly say that we were making that investment down to the fine folks in Mountain Creek, and they use that rec center all the time. With that being said, I move approval.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, let's pick up addendum item number one.
Addendum item number one is, number one, the trade-in of 66 pickup trucks and two acceptance of 66 2010 model year pickup trucks for fleet vehicle replacement at zero cost consideration and a revenue amount of $131,630.
Presumably.
This question is either Forrest or Dave. Either one is fine. Forrest wants Dave to go up to the... That's fine. I think this is a good transaction for the city, very positive and that sort of thing. My question goes to the broader issue, Dave. During the budget cycle, year before last and this last budget cycle, I asked questions about fleet management. How is it that the manager, how is it that we as the city are combining the use of our vehicles between all the different departments we have. And so anytime I see a transaction coming to the council for acquisition, trade-in, any of that sort of thing, fleet, it comes back to me, what are we doing to improve the use of our vehicles? Because there have been too many times I see idle vehicles. So help me with that.
We spend a great deal of time analyzing the fleet and the usage of the fleet. Of particular note in recent months and even some years now has been the police fleet to make sure that they have the fleet available, ready and able to work on, so they're not having to go without cars at the various stations.
I think we solved that. I think that all got weathered through. I'm not really worried about the police department per se.
Anywhere it's feasible, we do have pool vehicles And you'll see that from time to time when council goes someplace, we're able to jump in vans and go. Those aren't dedicated to the mayor and council office. Those are pool vans. And we have similar fleet usage shared among departments for certain types of vehicles. And we're careful to analyze whether we need to buy long-term purchase vehicles or just rent on an as-needed basis as well. You know, large cranes, for instance. We may need them, but we may only need them for one job. So we don't go buy it.
So let me go to the next point. So has there been any different strategy implemented as it relates to the fleet usage between going from department to a more of a pooled effort in order to save money?
We go through that process on an annual basis, and when the purchase request comes in, they come in centrally. And
what do you mean centrally?
Centrally.
EDS means centrally? Or?
And we don't allow a department to say, I want to buy this without anybody questioning it. So there is a global look at the entire fleet. Is there another way to use a vehicle that is no longer in use in one department than another? Do you really need that big old giant pickup? You know, we make a global review of what we're purchasing, and we're spending more time on that as we move forward. So, yes, we are looking at that.
Forrest keeps coming up there and back. Forrest, come back over, please. Forrest, part of your portfolio is an ATM is EBS, correct?
That is correct.
Well, this comment's to you, Forrest, and the manager. I think that there are dollars to be had, to be saved, in that pooling effort. Now, Mayor, I'm not saying what, where, should or should not be done in what department. I'm just saying with the number of vehicles. For instance, what's the total number of vehicles the city has?
4,000 some odd.
Okay. With 4,000 vehicles, there's opportunities for cost savings. Again, when I see an item come to the council to acquire, to purchase for whatever department, it makes me pause and think. And I mentioned this in the first budget cycle I was involved with, and the last one I keep mentioning because I see there's opportunity for savings there. So I'll come back to you offline in order to reinforce what are we doing in order to save there. 4,000 vehicles when we have only 12,000 employees.
Well, please, we'll come back to you and review
you
the
see
process.
That connection? That
yes, I understand. But also, an employee that needs to be transported to a work site that's sitting waiting on a car is not economically.
No,
we'll talk about the process.
I'm later. With you, Mary, but 4,000 vehicles on 12,000 employees, that seems like a... I'm just drawing that. Okay. Thank you. I move approval, Mayor.
Thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Now, Secretary, why don't we move over to 47? We'll go down the non-consent items on the regular agenda.
Item 47 is consideration of appointments to board and commissions and the evaluation. Included in that, we also have appointment of officers for board and commissions. Starting first with your individual appointments, the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission, Rial Magdaleno. I'll get that correct. Mayor Leffert is nominating that individual. Cultural Affairs Commission, Clayton P. Henry. Council Member Allen is renominating Mr. Henry. He's the volunteer in the Cultural Board Experience area. Community Development Commission, Patricia Spears is being renominated by Council Member Hill, and Christine Scopi is being renominated by Council Member Natinsky. Environmental Health Commission, Mark Renfro is being nominated by Councilmember Hunt. Judicial Nominating Commission, Brian Rutherford, is being renominated by Councilmember Hunt, and he is representing the Dallas Bar Association. Marcos Ranquillas is being renominated by Mayor Leffert. He is the citizen at large. For the Landmark Commission, William Virgin is being renominated by Mayor Leffert. He's the citizen at large. Senior Affairs Commission, Diane Benjamin is being nominated by Councilmember Margolin, and Esther Davis is being renominated by Mayor Leffert. Your full council nominees, Board of Adjustment alternate member John Scott Jackson is being renominated by Councilmember Cadain. Reinvestment Zone 6, which is the farmer's market near Sleeper, is being renominated by Councilmember Hunt. Reinvestment Zone 8 Board, which is the Zion District, is B.H. Mike Morgan being renominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Madrano. And Reinvestment Zone 18 Board, the Maple Markingbury Board, Tim Slaughter is being renominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Madrano. All need qualifications, Mr. Mayor, for service on those boards.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered.
Mayor, we have several appointments for officers. Rial Magdaleno is being nominated for the chair for the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission by the mayor. Carl Rains is being nominated as chair for Citizen Police Review Board. Sharon Patterson being nominated for chair for Environmental Health Commission. Marcos G. Rankia is being nominated for Judicial Nominating Commission chair. And Esther Davis is being nominated for the Senior Affairs Commission chair. The vice chair, Michael Lovelo, is being nominated for vice chair for Community Development Commission by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Madrano. Elizabeth Davis Frizzell is being nominated as vice chair by Councilmember Hill for the Judicial Nominating Commission. Ricardo Madrano is being nominated for vice chair for the Permit and License Appeal Board by Councilmember Hill. Jesse Tafalo is being nominated for Senior Affairs Commission Vice Chair by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Madrano. Mr. Mayor, at this time, can we separate out
Let's take a motion with the exception of
Madrano.
Yeah, Mr. Madrano.
Move
yeah. All those, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. The record will show that Ms. Madrano has excused herself from the chambers. If I could take a motion now in regard to Mr. Madrano or the vice chair. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, those are all of the appointments, the board and commissions. Item 48 was deleted on the addendum.
So. Okay. 49, please.
49 is the designated public subsidy matters, which requires a 2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
That's correct.
49 is authorizing an amendment to the development agreement with Deep Ellum Warehouses, previously approved on November 12, 2007 by resolution number 073359 and 3360 in Tax Increment Finance and Reinvestment Zone 12, Deep Ellum TIF District. One, split the project into 2 phases, phase one, private improvements, and phase two, public infrastructure improvements on Hill Avenue. Two, extend the deadline for phase two of the project from December 31st, 2008 to June 30th, 2010. And three, add phase three to the project and allocate an additional $80,000 TIF funds for phase three improvements related to the redevelopment of 3927 Benson Street. And four, amend Exhibit B and add Exhibit C1, not to exceed $80,000.
If no discussion, a motion on this?
Second.
It's been moved. The first second is by Mr. Atkins.
Second.
And Ms. Hill has made the second. Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So ordered.
Item 50 is an amendment to the development agreement of Fairways and La Reunion, LLC, and or its affiliates, previously approved on January 28, 2009 by resolution number 090286 and 090287 in Tax Increment Finance and Reinvestment Zone number 15. Two, number one, extend the project deadline to begin construction of the courtyards at La Reunion from August 30, 2009 to August 31, 2010. And to extend the project deadline to complete construction of the courtyard at La Reunion from December 31st, 2010 to February 29th, 2012. And to allow new constructions in lieu of rehabilitation for the courtyards at La Reunion. Three, replace Exhibits B1, B3, C1, C3, and F with amendments Exhibit B1, B3, C1, and C3. Four, remove the Brazos Bank Building and its associated exhibits B2, C2, and F from the development requirements. And five, amend the Fort Worth Avenue TIF allocation policy.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. This is part of the positive redevelopment along the Fort Worth Avenue corridor in Oak Cliff. This particular TIF area is a Fort Worth Avenue TIF. Some very positive things. I need Carl to come up for a quick second. There are three key things that I want to make sure the council is aware of. Number one, what this is asking is for a little bit of an extension of the time period for the beginning of the construction on this area. It's the demolition of the Colorado Place apartments we talked about several times. And then it's to change from rehab to construction for a portion on the north side of Colorado. And then last but not least, a new grocery store coming to Oak Cliff, an Aldi's grocery store on Fort Worth Avenue, and so it's to basically take that parcel out where a bank was going to be to instead bring and pave the way for a grocery store. I wonder, but those are the three key elements as it relates to what's before the council today.
Good explanation.
Carl, demolition. When you and I visited yesterday, day before, I can't remember when, even yesterday, one of the questions and one of the concerns I had was about demolition. It's very important to the neighborhood that we see a continuity as it relates to the demolition of the apartments on the south side of Colorado and on Fort Worth Avenue and the north side. Is that moving forward?
Yes, in conversations with Mr. Killingsworth, that demolition is moving forward, and that's a separate item.
I understand that, but this council member would not support this unless we continue along the path of getting the demolition work done. Council members, we loaned the developer here $1 million from Prop 8 money. For Jerry, is that correct, or is that Carl? Prop 8 money, in order to expedite the demolition of these apartments, in order to expedite the redevelopment of this area. And so that's very important to me, and I see a representative of the developer here, and he's nodding his head that we're moving forward with that. I don't need you to come to the microphone. I just want the professional staff to know that it's very important, AC, very important we keep that on track. And we're talking about demolition for the north side as well as the south side.
That's correct, Mr. Newman. That's important to us also.
Collectively, it's important. Okay. Do we have a date of when the demolition is going to be complete?
I don't know that date.
Jerry, do you know that, or do we need to ask someone? We, as council members, we actually had an event at the location, a demolition party. 150 people showed up on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to celebrate the demolition of these apartments. So the neighborhood clearly is engaged in this, Mr. Killingsworth.
Depending on the weather, we should be done by the end of February to the middle of March. Keep in mind that before we can demolish any of these properties, they have to go through an abatement process and some testing before you can knock the buildings down. But we had said all along that it was going to be at least a 90-day process once we started the demolition.
I absolutely appreciate that. And I'm trying to make sure to communicate with the neighborhoods about timetables. So end of February, beginning of March is what we're saying.
And any time that I've been out there, as recently as 3 days ago, there's multiple equipment, machinery out there continuing to knock down as part of them are being abated. The stuff behind
good.
It is being knocked down.
Very good. Well, I can easily buttonhole beginning of or end of February, beginning of March. Okay. With that, I move approval.
Been moved and seconded by both Mr. Cadane and Mr. Caraway. And again, for the record, the certification of the additional seconds by making the second motion, the council members represent that they have undertaken sufficient examination involvement beyond reviewing agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of various factors and issues involved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. And Secretary, 51.
51 is supplemental agreement number 1 to the contract with Community Council of Greater Dallas to increase the payment amount for additional training on the homeless management and information system for the period October 1st, 2009 through March 31st, 2010, not to exceed $9,800.
Can I have a motion on this, please?
So moved.
It's been moved. by Mr. Salazar, seconded by Mr. Atkins, and...
Right, reverse.
I'm sorry. Mr. Atkins moved it. Mr. Salazar seconded. I need an additional second.
You got it right here.
Ms. Hill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. 52, please.
Authorize the reconstruction on site of two homes in accordance with the Reconstruction Share Program Statement requirements for the properties located at 2923 Cypress Avenue in the amount of $87,500 and 1215 Iowa Avenue in the amount of $87,500.
It's been moved by Mr. Newman and seconded by Mr. Atkins and by Mr. Caraway. Again, the same certification. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered.
Item 53 is number one, preliminary adoption of the FY 2009-10 Consolidated Plan, Substantial Amendment Number 2, to reprogram A, FY 2006 and 7, Community Development Block Grant Funds from Downtown Mortgage Assistance Program to Barrett Street Mixed Use Project in the amount of $475,800 and Reconstruction Share Program in the amount of $1,474,200 and B, FY 2009-10 Home Investment Partnership Funds from Reconstruction Share Program to Bear Street Mixed Use Project in the amount of $1,346,200 and two, a public hearing to be held on February the 24th, 2010 to receive comments on substantial amendment number two to the FY 2009-10 Consolidated Plan, total not to exceed
$3,296,200.
Move approval. Moved and seconded by Mr. Atkins and Mr. Caraway. Same certification. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. 54, please.
54 is authorized acquisition, including the exercise of the right of eminent domain if such becomes necessary from PBH Investments, LLC, of 8 parcels of land containing a total of approximately 72 square feet located near the intersection of Hugo and Woodside Streets for the State Commerce TIF Infrastructure Improvement Project.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded, and the seconds were by Mr. Atkins and Mr. Salazar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So ordered. 55, please.
Authorized acquisition, including the exercise of right of eminent domain, if such becomes necessary, from PBH Investments, LLC, of approximately 275 square feet of land located near the intersection of Hugo and Woodside Streets for the State Thomas Tiff Infrastructure Improvement Project.
Move approval.
Second.
And seconded by both Ms. Hill and by Mr. Salazar. All those in favor?
Hill
move, Atkins and Salazar second. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, over on addendum, item number 5, please.
Addendum item number 5 is an ordinance granting a franchise to Atmos Energy Corporation for a term of 15 years to provide gas utility services with the city and providing for compensation.
Motion. Moved and seconded. Forrest? Of course, when this came up in a briefing, we had a conversation on a couple of items. One of those was in regard to the street repairs. I think you were going to get together with Atmos, do a little bit more homework on it. I did see a memorandum from Ms. Jordan. My only concern on that is it really talked about, kind of from a paper standpoint, all the things that we do in the process. I think the concern that was expressed on the council was, how do we make sure that what's on paper actually gets translated to specific actions? Could you address that a little bit and give us some comfort level that we'll see some improvement in that and feel comfortable in the future?
The street cut repair and the monitoring and inspection is a public works function. And as you mentioned, you saw the memo from Ms. Jordan. I think we are planning to, at Council's request last week, further brief the Transportation Committee. But if more detail on exactly what they do, I'll ask Jill to go into that.
The question is, how do we do street cuts?
Well, I think the concern was, it seemed like we had a process that addressed street cuts, and it seemed like it addressed it in a very acceptable fashion. I think there was a concern on the council that perhaps there was individual examples in a number of different council districts where, unfortunately, the actions that were taken on that street cut really weren't at the level that you would expect, either in general or by virtue of the processes that were outlined. Your memo, I think, was very comprehensive and determinate. I think all the council was looking for is a little bit more comfort level that through inspections, through process, almost more the management than the process of it, that indeed when the street cuts took place, it would return the streets to a condition that was a little bit more acceptable. I think there's a real concern that we didn't quite implement the way that we said we were going to.
Right. This was a huge issue for the council back in the 2002 time period, and it was at that time that we redid our whole process for how we handle street cuts, and it was a conversation that we held with all of the various utilities and the council and staff. So where we ended up is a process in which if you're going to cut into the street, you make the application, and we do research to see if it's an asphalt street. When was the last time did we do a surface treatment, a resurfacing or a slurry to that street, or if it's a brand new street? If it's within 5 years, then that is going to trigger a much higher level repair than older asphalt streets. The other thing that we did back then was what we had on concrete streets, they were repairing it with asphalt, and so we made sure that if it's a concrete street, they do the final repair with concrete. Now, I think the thing that you all are seeing out in the neighborhoods is that what the utility companies are doing is they will do a temporary repair. So they will send one type of crew out, the kind of people that fix the pipes. And that crew will put, when they finish fixing the pipes, they're not pavement kind of contractors and workers. They're pipe kind of people. And so they're going to put down a temporary asphalt patch. And that's going to be kind of jagged, lumpy looking. It's going to look unfinished. The companies then have 14 days to come in and do the final repair. And that's when they will come in, cut it up, level it, even it up, and that's when the final thing will be smooth. And so it's during that time period that people could see these cuts that don't look so good. Now, the other thing is we still have a lot of cuts out there from pre-2002, and, you know, they were not done to the right kind of standards, and we fix all of that when we go in and do a resurfacing of a street. But they could also be looking at those older kinds of cuts. And the difference for the streets that have been resurfaced by us for the last 5 years and then they come in to do the cut is that they have to do a final slurry of the whole street so that it looks good. For example, I'm going to pick on Mr. Cadane. He had a street over on Westlake, and in 2007 there was something happened to a water line, and they came in and they fixed it, and nobody had looked at the street and done any kind of street work on that since 94. So when they did it, they followed the ordinance, which means that they took care of one lane, which was in this case half of the street, and they put a slurry on that and they did half of the street. Well, so half of the street is one color and half of the street is another color. And the neighborhood says, it doesn't look good. We want it all the same. Well, our ordinance is such that they did it correctly, and so we end up with this two-toned street out there.
I think we're less concerned about kind of the pre-5-year point that more recently, and maybe one of the ways to get it is, as we go forward, would it be reasonable, and again, not all of them, but do some type of a sampling over the next 6 months to 12 months to have one of your senior people go out and just kind of inspect to make sure? Perhaps you're doing it already.
We do that already. They are inspecting them basically at three times during the construction period. So we're supposed to be looking at that now. So that's why if you all are seeing cuts that are not being made that are acceptable, then we have a real problem going on, and we need you all to bring those to our attention because we need to go back and see what the issue is.
So if any council person has an issue,
let us know. Like,
will address that and you'll move forward. Okay.
Well, and that's what we did for Mr. Cadane on his.
Okay. So I think that's the important thing is, if there's issues that are raised in any of the individual districts, make sure that we get to Jill as soon as we can.
And we'll research it for you.
Ms. Margolin?
will this additional fee apply only to the citizens of Dallas?
The changing the franchise fee from 4% to 5% of gross revenues would apply on all of the Atmos's bills in Dallas, residential, commercial, and industrial. They have separate franchise agreements with all the other various cities, and the majority, if not the vast majority, over recent years have transitioned to a 5% fee already.
And so the increase from 4% to 5%, that 1%, will be absorbed in higher rates, most likely charged by Atmos, that are passed along to the citizens of Dallas and then paid to the city of Dallas.
Paid through Atmos and remitted to the city.
Right.
We don't know for sure they'll pass that along, but they have that right. Yes.
Right, they do. And so I want to just reiterate that while we claim to not have raised taxes, I truly believe that this is a backdoor way of raising taxes. And so when I voted against the budget, this was one of the reasons. And so in the interest of consistency and making a point once again, I'll be voting against it this time.
Ms. McDonald.
Mayor, thank you so much. And you know, during our last briefing on this item, which you put so nicely, I want to make sure, and Atmos is here in the audience, I want to make sure that it was not directly totally at Atmos. It was just utility, general utilities and other cable companies and anyone else that has asked for permits to do any type of street cuts. And I believe Mr. Councilmember Newman pointed that out you know, quite succinctly, but I just wanted to make sure that if folks did not see that briefing and are watching the council meeting, make sure that Atmos was not, it was just because it was, you know, this item was brief, but we were not, I hope you didn't feel like we were picking on Atmos. It was in general. And I thank you for your memo. I am personally researching in my district of unsatisfactory repairs on street cuts, and definitely we'll get back with you as well. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Just want to bring up that Atmos have already contacted our offices requesting that we review any cuts that we do not feel meet the standards of the city. I think Ms. Medrano points out we have more than just one utility provider and more than one provider that has to make cuts in our streets, even our own department. So, but in reviewing the agreement, I thought staff did a really good job in detailing the line-by-line item of the agreement. It does seem that we are much better off than we were in the prior agreement, so I will be supporting this. If the motion's not been made, I'll make the motion.
Been moved. Seconded. Ms. Davis, please. Mr. Atkins, I'm sorry.
Again, Steve, you know, I do support this issue. But also, Jill, of course, and Jill, getting back to the cuts of the streets, briefly, when they do the cut, do we have one inspection before they do the cut and one final inspection after they finish? Could you give me a timeline between the two?
There's
Right. And Rick, if I say it wrong, please correct me. They are supposed to, we review the plan to begin with, so we're seeing it in the office ahead of time, and that's when we're going to be doing the five-year check. And then they go out three times during the construction and see what that is. So they'll look at it at the stage where there's the patch, and then they will come back at the final, and we do not close out the street cut permit until we have inspected the final cut. So the first two times are kind of during the work, and the final one is after they're finished.
So when you do your final, when you do your final inspection, that's when you certify that all the work is completed and certified, and you
right.
take your pictures and stuff like that.
Right, and that's when we close the permit. So we're not closing it without taking a look at the cut.
Okay, do at the final inspection, do you take pictures?
I don't think they take a picture at every stage.
What I think it might be, you know, take a picture before and after, so therefore you do have...
Yeah, and we could do that.
You know,
digital cameras now.
You know,
that
before and after, the snapshot, right? Then that way, if we got indiscretionary what's going
right.
on,
and
we
then there's no argument about
right.
what it
and
is.
I think
yeah.
we should do
we
that.
We can do that.
Just a suggestion. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, I think in taking the, first of all, I will be supporting this, but I have some concerns. For example, in my area, it states here, and I gave this to you, Jen, I'm just giving an example, mm-hmm. so we won't have these problems. Atlas will attempt to adjust the asphalt repair and perform the repair as soon as the weather is up enough to do asphalt work. Then it goes on to say, therefore, however, Atlas cannot do the hump right now because of the weather.
Right.
So, if I had not called in on this particular problem, it'll still be there.
Well, again,
and when finish,
yeah.
When they finish, because there was a water main break or something that went on day before Christmas, and when they finished, they just took the asphalt and just lumped it. It was just a lump, and it was a huge lump. So when cars were going over, they was like bumping and just jumping. So it has stayed like that for almost a week.
And it will, with the kind of weather that we've had, you can't put down asphalt and concrete in the extreme cold weather. It will crumble and break up.
Well, I just think if it's not finished, then it needs to have those little cones or something out there until it's finished. Even now, it's still like that, and people are driving around it, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So I can't speak for other council member districts, but in my district, that's a problem. Just put the cones out or something.
Something to indicate that we're still aware of it.
Absolutely.
It's happening.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. Just
okay.
put something out there just letting people know, you know, it's still there. You haven't finished out on it, and it's something to make sure that it's still in process of being worked on.
Right.
But other than that, I will be supporting this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I will tell you, I like with Dallas Water Utilities, and Jody, you can correct me if I misstated, but what we will typically do for our water department is when they're dealing with those cuts in streets that are 5 years or newer, and they're going to come back and slurry, and make the whole street look nice and get it back to the original condition, they will save those up. That's summertime kind of work, and that's so you might have a period of a couple of months done before you get that final slurry treatment. Now, that's different than what you're talking about, but I do want all of you to be aware that there are these long time periods so that work is done efficiently. You just can't mobilize a contractor to do one flurry of one street.
I do understand. Mr. Allen, please.
My question has been answered.
Thank you very much. Mr. Tinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I see Susan out there in the audience. So, you know, again, this is certainly not directed, you know, at Atlas in any way. But having missed the briefing last week. I know we've had discussions about the street cut patching process before, and I just want to make sure, Jill, that we look within our own house before we start criticizing entirely outside our companies, you know, be it the cable company, electric company, the gas company, or whoever, because I would say out in my area, a greater preponderance of the problems that I've got with regards to repairs have to do with DWU's lack of properly, at least in citizens' opinion, doing those repairs. So let's make sure that our house is in order at the same time that we're dealing with the outside franchisees. With regard to, you know, whether we raise the franchise fee or we don't raise it, I voted in favor of raising it because we are currently below what other cities in our immediate area all around us, surrounding us, are charging as a franchise fee. And at the end of the day, if we don't have the money come to us through the franchise fee, it's going to have to come to us from some other revenue sources, be it a tax increase or other things. So this is not just a magical thing that if we don't increase the franchise fee, the problem of the dollars that the franchise fee generates just goes away. So with that, I will be supporting it. And Jill, on your little handy list of streets, I think West Grove would be sort of the poster child of repair. It is entirely. It has not become a street anymore. It has become a quilt of repairs. And unfortunately, it's not an asphalt street. I guess the good news is it's concrete, so it doesn't get the benefit of a slurry seal, but it is literally from one curb to the other curb and from one end to the other, patches and patches and patches. And I'm not sure how that, you know, can be addressed, but you might want to take a look at it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tinsky. Ms. Koo, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What I would like to have done is to make sure that Atmos realizes that sometimes it's not really Atmos folks that are the issue, it's their contractors. And I've got a constituent in my district right now, this has been going on for a week or two, and I understand weather and so on and so forth, but there's just not anybody out there, and everything is torn up. And my understanding is the contractor. So, you know, I would encourage Atmos to evaluate their contractors to make sure that they're telling you and giving you accurate information and getting to the problem as quickly as they can, because I think in some cases they're just really not giving you the appropriate information. And that's kind of what we're hearing back from our inspectors and so on and so forth. So we have people that are out there, you know, that are asking questions and stuff. So if you could take a look at that, I think that might address some of the problems. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'll be short, Council. I'll say to Atmos, and I'll echo Ms. Madrano and others, this is not something that's directed to just Atmos. We have other vendors that are out here that do street cutting, and so we want to send the signal to everyone that we are very concerned about the street cuts and the repairs. I also will agree with Councilman Atkins. I'd like to see a before and after rig photo of the street repair. I think that'll put a explanation point onto this subject.
You have to answer. Just
thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's been moved and seconded. I would like to make the comment that there was addressed on kind of the back-end tax and that sort of thing, because I simply don't think that's correct. We charge fees for an awful lot of different things. We charge fees for the use of landfill, et cetera. In essence, we're charging the same way any business does. We're charging fees for the use of our assets. I think, if anything, this conversation has shown that when we work with these utilities, et cetera, they use our rights of ways, those sorts of things, there are a lot of costs that we absorb and that we have to deal with. Like anything else, those costs have to be reimbursed. And that's really what this is. Clearly, the state legislature felt this was the case by allowing the franchise fees to be in place, to be able to charge to various utilities and various outside vendors. And clearly, our costs in terms of people and everything else have gone up. I think the best indicator is the fact that when you look across the Metroplex, as was pointed out by Mr. Cook, 5% is kind of the going rate now. And that's where most of the cities are. So I think, if anything, we should be competitive, and we actually owe it to our taxpayers to be competitive, given that this involves the use of our assets. And as I said, in any business, you are trying to leverage off and get the cost of those assets covered. So I don't think that was a fair comment. I just wanted to put on the record that we charge fees for a lot of different things. We should charge fees for those things. Our costs go up. We put costs into these, and we're no different than any other city in the Metroplex. And in fact, this is a market rate, and we at least ought to be at the market rate. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. With the objection, Ms. Margolin. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, item number 6 on the addendum, please.
Item 6 is authorized the Dallas Development Fund to accept a new market tax credit allocation from United States Treasury Department's Community Development Financial Institution Fund and enter into an allocation agreement with CDFI Fund.
So moved. Second. Moved and seconded by both Mr. Atkins and Mr. Kadane. All those in favor? We got lots of them.
Again. It was Ms. Hill, Mr. Mayor?
Just list 10 names, yeah.
Yes, sir.
There was Ms. Hawks on Ms. Hill and Mr. Cadet.
I got them all.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Ordered. It's now 10:19 on January 13th. The City Council.
Mr. Mayor, before we go into that, no. Do we want to reconsider item number 18?
I think we're going to do it. We'll come back after lunch
okay. And
grab that one.
Okay.
It's now 10:20 on January 13th. City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matter: Gilliland versus the City of Dallas and legal issues that are involving the enforcement of the city's sign ordinance. What we'll do is we'll go into recess now. Let's go into the back briefing room. We'll have what I anticipate will be a relatively short session. We will come back at 1 o'clock, and pick up then the zoning agenda. With that, we're in recess. Thank you. Okay, we're back in session at 1:01. Ms. Hawthorne, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to make a motion to reconsider item 18.
Motion's made. Ms. Hossel voted in favor of it. Therefore, that is a valid motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? To order, Ms. Hossel.
Okay. And then I'd like to make a motion to amend item number 18 to read as follows. The Belo Foundation will make quarterly payments to the city to fund the extended hours of operation of the display fountain. These payments will be made in arrears within 30 days following the end of each calendar quarter, and the quarterly payment of $3,388.50 shall be prorated if necessary to reflect any days during which the display fountain has been inoperable during the preceding quarter. The city will seek reimbursement from the Belo Foundation to offset the cost of the extended hours of operation of the display fountain.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? To order. Madam Secretary, we have two items that were on the consent agenda that will be considered individually. Those are items 59 and item 61 due to having speakers. Could you read in the record then 56, 57, 58, 60, and 62?
Yes, sir, I sure can. Item 56 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for vehicle display sales and service used on properties on Plan Development District Number 534, the C.F. Hahn Special Purpose District Number 2, with a dry liquor overlay on the south side of C.F. Hahn Freeway. Item 57 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-premise district activity video board on property zone plan development district number 619 in areas generally bound by Elm Street, Acker Street, Main Street, and Stone Place. Item 58 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1566 for a vehicle display sales and service use on property within Subdistrict 2 of Plan Development District 535, the CF Hunt Special Purpose District number 3 on the south side of CF Hunt Freeway between Prairie Creek Road and South St. Augustine Road. Item 60 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to Track 3 of Plan Development District number 508 on cluster housing, multifamily, limited office, mixed-use permit uses on the southwest corner of Goldman Street and Bicker Street. Item 62 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a plan development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and a single-family district uses on property zone, a single-family district in an area bound by Beckley Avenue, West Corning Avenue, Tulica Avenue, and West McVeigh Avenue. And, Mr. Mayor, I think it's a
zoning consent.
A public hearing, this is agenda item 7, a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 166 for a college, private school, multifamily residential uses, and the establishment for the cure of alcoholic, narcotic, or psychiatric patients on property on the west side of La Prada Drive, south of Blythe Drive. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on the items that I just read into the record, which is items 56, 57, 58, 60, 62, and our agenda item number 7? Anyone that would like to speak on those items? Mr. Mayor.
Motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, addendum item number 8.
Addendum item number 8?
Please.
Oh, okay. A public hearing to receive comments regarding consideration of amendments to the downtown special provision sign district to allow for one mid-level premise sign for every 100 feet in building height in an area generally bound by Woodall Rogers to the north, Interstate 45, U.S. 75 to the east, and Interstate 30, R.L. Thornton to the south, and Interstate 35, Stemmons Freeway to the west.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 1,763 notices. Property owners in turn fear they have requests. Received 40 replies in favor, 7 replies in opposition. Require a simple majority to approve this. It does require two seconds. This is kind of a hybrid, both a code amendment and a zoning change, so we opted for the more conservative approach to make it a...
Fair enough. 40 in favor, 7 against.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Planning Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor.
Motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 59, please. 59.
Item number 59 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a medical clinic on property within the Track 1A portion of Plan Development District number 316, the Jefferson Area Special Purpose District on property at the northwest corner of Jefferson Boulevard and Madison Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 21 notices. Property owners in turn fear their request. We received 7 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Hassa?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendation for approval with the following change, changing the date of automatic termination from January 13, 2015 to January 13, 2013. So we're basically changing it from a 5-year SUP to a 3-year.
Second motion.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 61, please.
61 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1691 for a bar, lounge, or tavern on properties on Plan Development District number 269, the Deep Ellum near East Side Special Purpose District on the northwest line of Exposition Avenue east of Ash Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners with attorney's fee of the air request. Received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Mr. Mayor, we have 2 individuals that have signed up to speak, a David Gibson and a Gene Dennis. David Gibson, Gene Dennis. Mr. Mayor, that's it.
Well, they're not present. Okay. Motion.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? You would like to speak in favor of item number 61? Okay, please come forward and state your name and your address for the record. Yes, you can. And Mr. Mayor, thank you. Sir, you have 2 minutes to speak on the item. 2 minutes? Yes, sir. You're speaking in opposition? Mr. Mayor, how do you want to handle
it? Why don't you go ahead and sit down? We'll take the against first.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Gene Dennis. Our office 820 Exposition, Dallas. We're in opposition against this. I think you got a letter from the owner of this property, David Gibson, and hopefully everybody read it and can comprehend it the way that we are we look at this proposed SUP. I think the most important thing in that letter to me was what I found in the city code that says the city council should not grant an SUP for use except upon a finding that the use will complement or be compatible with the surrounding uses and community facilities, contribute or enhance or promote the welfare of the area of request and adjacent properties, and not be detrimental to the public health, safety, or general welfare, and conform to all other respects to all zoning regulations and standards. And that's all I'm asking. If you got any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Good. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Mr. Mayor, are you ready for those in favor at this time?
Please
come forward at this time if you want to speak in favor of the recommendation.
How many do we have today? I see 3 hands.
You have 3, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Great.
You have 2 minutes, sir, to speak on the item.
Okay. I feel like I'm in the principal's office. How are you? My name is Timothy Austin. I live at 2951 North Camino Lagos. That's in Grand Prairie, Texas. And I am the president of Instrument Entertainment, and my company operates out of the lounge at 813 Exposition. I have over a decade of experience in nightlife entertainment. Most of my experience was in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I work with the neighbors in that particular area, in the areas of trash, noise abatement, and we also worked a lot with the homeless. I work with the public officials and city government, mayor, police chief, as well as the fire chief. The facility has and will continue to host events for artists, which are both performing artists as well as visual artists. We work with poets, live musicians, comedians. This is what we're using the property for that particular reason. We also participate in fundraisers and national charities as well. The United Way, the Salvation Army, the American Cancer Society. We've done events at our venue at this particular facility. We also have a adopt-a-school program that we want to implement and put in place, and I think we've identified a school that we wanted to work with. We plan on making sure that we work with some of the nonprofit organizations. We've targeted one of those as well. We create jobs for people looking for jobs in that particular area, part-time jobs. We try to provide that. We work to provide a fun and safe environment for our patrons. Our patrons are from all different ethnicities and backgrounds, and they come with with the opportunity to hear different music as well as poetry and things of that nature as well. So it's more of an event place than just a regular bar. And the thing is, when grown people go out to enjoy themselves, they tend to have a cocktail, and we like to do it the respectful and responsible way. That's how we operate. We make sure that we don't let highly intoxicated people get on the road and things of that nature.
I appreciate it. You made the point.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
State your name and, yes, you can put it in a little tray there and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is John Roberts. I reside at 4717 Vera Cruz in Garland, Texas. For 50 years, I've been a resident, a property owner, and a taxpayer of Dallas County. I am the landlord of the property in question. We purchased that in 1976 for our maintenance facility and used that until 1986, in which time we started leasing it out to different venues. Some have been good, some have been bad. I don't go to bars and lounges, but the people that we're currently on lease with at that facility are not just a bar and a lounge. We've sought an SUP and was approved for an SUP, and then there were some complications, some code violations, and that facility has been shut down for almost a year now. We've done absolutely nothing in there. We are now in compliance with parking agreements. We're in compliance in every way with the city of Dallas. This and the entertainment that these people offer are something that the city of Dallas needs, something that I personally would go to and would recommend to all of my friends. It's not just a bar and a lounge. These people provide entertainment with sports celebrities, with movie and entertainment celebrities. Television programs. I personally have been at meetings when we had to turn down invitations to have filming done at this facility to help to bring about more entertainment into that area. This is something that the city of Dallas and the residents of that area would be proud of. It's something that we ought to seek to encourage. So that's my
appreciate. Thanks for being with us. Absolutely.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today? I'm very for the Mink Lounge because...
state your name and your address. All right, please.
Apologize.
That's okay.
A little nervous.
Okay.
I'm Maurice Moore. I am a college student of Post University in Waterbury, Connecticut. Graduate of Justin F. Kimball High School here in Dallas, Texas. And my address is presently 1532 Glen Lane in Glen Heights, Texas. I've been a resident of Glen Heights, Texas for 4 years. I've spent a good majority of my life as a resident of Dallas, Texas. Let me start off by saying I think everybody here on the council is great. Everybody does their job. But I'm asking you to be in favor of a place like this because it gives young men and women opportunity like me to get a leg up starting a business as far as marketing. I'm a business marketing major. The gentleman, Timothy Austin, and the landlord, they were nice enough to see that I had something in me to give me the opportunity to do some of the marketing for a venue like that. I don't know if you know a little bit about your history, but the day after JFK was actually assassinated here in Dallas, he signed a grant to give money to art institution and venues everywhere, from California to Dallas, just everywhere. And I've started a program to help make that realized. And it was for programs like what we run over there at Mink. And, you know, I would just think it would be terribly in vain to let a place like that go. I have tremendous support from other artists in the community that have done a lot of work here, and they support us, and I'm asking you for your support.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item?
Good afternoon to the Honorable Mayor and City Council. I'm Esther Davis. My address is 2204 Millimore Street here in Dallas. I'm in support of the SUP for Mr. Tim Austin. The handouts that you have, please take note of the first and second pages from people that have already been to the lounge. It is important that I bring up a subject. In 2005, 2006, and 2007, the City of Dallas welcomed the Black Enterprise Conference. The Esther Davis Show actually broadcast live from the hotel during those 3 years. And in that three-year period, we had a record-breaking attendance of young professionals, a diverse community coming into our city to take a look at the Metroplex. Some of them decided to go back to their home states and actually relocate to Dallas. And the reason that I am so adamant about this is because I've heard from several of the corporations, from the people that came to Dallas during those conferences. And they were asking about the Metroplex. We want the dollars to stay in Dallas and not go to the Metroplex, because Dallas is the greatest place to be. But we also welcome in a lot of visitors that come to our city every year. And what we want them to do is be welcome all over the city. This is a diverse community, what we call the Blackberry community, and it's also a walking community. Straight to Fair Park, has dart rail lines, have all of the amenities that we want our inner city to look like. I still live in the inner city, so I'm promoting inner city growth, and that's why I'm here promoting the SUP for 813 Exposition. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Esther.
Are there any other speakers, Mr. Mayor? Oh, sir, you want to speak on this item? Please come down and state your name and address for the record and whether you are opposed or in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission.
Hello, City Council. My name is Selvin DeLeon. I live at 101 South Walton, the City Place here in Deep Ellum. And I'm in favor for this club. And I guess I met Tim after I went to his club. One of the first acts that he brought into town was Terrace One. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but he started to stop the violence movement. And sometimes you get lost in the whole battle and trying to make a good city go right. But you gotta realize you gotta have people in key places helping you helping you make this happen. And Deep Ellum, I've seen a lot of bad clubs, a lot of hip hop, a lot of heavy metal. I've seen a lot of white violence, a lot of black violence. And you need to have people that can bring good music in the hip hop reign. You see it in churches, you see it in various other places. So Tim symbolizes that to me in various ways. He booked good talents, and one of the major reasons he emphasizes about his club is safety for his people and making sure the club has a safe environment from security and all. And that is very seldom seen in Deep Ellum or any club scene. And if you're concerned about drinking, there's too many other bars to go for drinking. He has an entertainment artist all ready to work for him to book talent, and I book talent from the West Coast to the East Coast. I'm here in Deep Ellum because I love it, and I moved from Guatemala to here, and I guess that's all I have to say. I mean, it really is an impressive spot to
appreciate it. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, appreciate you.
Mr. Mayor, that's all of the speakers.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And first of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming down and speaking for and against. I want to thank Mr. Austin, and I want to thank Esther, and I want to thank the other speakers. I will not be supporting this SUP. Exposition is a very narrow street. First of all, this came to us about a year ago. It had some parking violations. It could not get a CO because of the parking violation. Looking that they're in the process of working out their parking issues. But I was, that area, and when Mr. Austin came down a year ago, the club was still in business, doing a dance floor. Shut them down because they was acting as a club with a dance floor. But I went and looked at the traffic that night. It was overflow of cars. Once the parking lot is full, and even though they parked across the street from Fair Park, then the cars had overflow of traffic going down Exposition, all the way down Exposition, and then it cut across on Commerce. I have nothing against Mr. Austin and his nightclub management style. I think he has perhaps run a wonderful nightclub. This is not the issue. The issue right now is the overflow. It is the overflow, even after the parking lot is full. So I would not be supporting this SUP today. Tell Mr. Austin that I will continue to work with him, and I'm hoping that he can work with me, and we can try to find a suitable place for him in his nightclub venture. So at this time, I would not be supporting the SUP for Special Use Permit 1691.
Mr. Cadenzi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I guess probably need to talk to Ms. Davis, but from hearing about this club, it seems like it's a pretty elite club, and it's pretty well frequented. Would it not be better to hold this over, maybe, and get with them and try to, let's work the parking situation out with them?
I would not be supporting this SUP, Sheffy, in my district.
You don't want it, period?
Period.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Jackson.
Yes, AC. I think I hear, you know, what my colleagues on my parking the street. Is anyone on staff that's familiar with that area?
I think Chris is pushing the podium.
And I'm curious, given those issues too, if you can address the approval by staff and by CPC.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask, right? You know,
that's what I mean. The staff approved it. Then
CPC approved it, but my commissioner did not approve it.
Okay. Can I finish? Two questions. First, you know, can you talk about a little bit about parking, the street, and staff did make a recommendation, and CPC did make a recommendation. Can you give me the pros or cons? Is something the city can do to make sure improve the parking? I'm just trying to get an overview.
Yes, it's in the Deep Elm Entertainment District. And a couple of years ago, the council approved a reduced parking requirement to encourage entertainment activity in the Deep Elm area. The bar is only required to have 11 spaces and has provided those 11 spaces off-site in an off-site agreement. It's obviously the bar will generate more parking need than 11 spaces. However, that was done intentionally to reduce those parking requirements to stimulate that activity. Deep Elm is built out. Most of those buildings don't have sufficient parking.
Absolutely.
So it was seen as a way to help light up those buildings and to get activity in those buildings. There will be overflow parking. There's no doubt about that. The Plan Commission did recommend approval. It was a split vote, 11-3. However, it was approved. Do you have anything else to add?
I guess the colleagues of Carol, it's your district, Carol, you know, it's no way that you want to sit down, you know, with both parties or with staff to see that something could possibly work out. I mean, how long is this business already in operation now?
No, it's not.
They They've been trying to secure parking for quite some time. The other aspect to this is it is probably within about 500 feet of the new DART stop down there. So there are all.
I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said something about the DART.
They're within approximately 500 feet of the new DART station down there. So there are alternative transportation modes, but clearly the bar will generate more traffic than they will be supplying. So there will be overflow parking.
Can I interject something?
Yes, Mayor.
Teresa, help me understand. If the parking is a consideration, I guess I'm not just talking about this, but nearly every establishment there, my understanding, is short of parking.
Absolutely.
So if the parking was, then in reality we would be rejecting every SUP. And how many SUPs are there?
That's why we reduced the parking requirement to Indyvillum to accommodate these existing buildings.
Because we wouldn't approve anything based on parking. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you answer the question, Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Davis, please.
And this, once again, this is I have just a short portion of the exposition. The rest of it is in Mr. Medrano's district. This is a very short, narrow street. It is the overflow, and it's just right across the street from the dark rail. So it is not the issue of the bar, it's the overflow of traffic. And that's why I'm not supporting this SUP at this time. I will sit down with Mr. Austin if he's willing to, and I will try to work with him to see if we can find another space. But that is not it. When he opened the club, it fills the whole lot, plus all the lots across the street, plus the overflow. It's just not conducive for what he's trying to do. So I will not be supporting this SUP at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Carraway?
Mayor, I would ask you to make a motion if we could just go into executive session for about 5 minutes.
No, Dwayne, I'm not going into executive session.
Right.
In my district.
I've got a motion. If there's a second.
I'll second it.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we will go into an executive session. We'll go into recess, and let's go back, and hopefully it'll just be a couple of minutes. It is now 1:29 on January 13th of 2010. City Council now going to closed session under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act. Receive advice from the consultant city attorney on the following matter, that is item number 61 on today's agenda. Thank you. We're back in session. Any other discussion? We're back in session. Any other discussion? Ms. Davis?
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I would like to move forward on this agenda item. And one of the things I want to make clear is that this area has more residential, more loft in this area, and that is one of the reasons. But I have said my position for the denial of the special use permit.
So it's a motion for denial. Motion for denial.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to discuss this, if I may, Ms. Davis, in the larger context of East Elm. I would hope that you would allow us just a bit of time, if only 2 weeks, to look at this in that larger context. And just to hold this open today, give us a minute to look at it. Deep Ellum is such an important economic engine to this entire city. I have tremendous respect for the people who have spoken here, particularly my constituent, Ms. Esther Davis. Ms. Esther Davis would not support anything that does not benefit this city. And I respect the fact that it is your district, and you know it far better than I do. But if you would just, if you could consider giving us time and just deferring this for at least 2 weeks to give us some time to think about it.
And with all due respect, Ms. Hill, it's my district, and I only have a small portion of Deep Ellum, and it's very, very small, very, very small. That is a large residential area. The rest of Deep Ellum is all in Pauline Medrano's district, and I am moving for denial of this at this point. Thank you so much. And it was second already.
Mr. McKinsey, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Where's Ms. O'Donnell? Oh, there she is. Come on up here. I don't blame you, Teresa. My concern centers around the parking issue. We've heard some people that, you know, there is parking, there isn't parking, and so forth. And the mayor asked a question with regards to there are special parking requirements in Deep Elm.
Yes.
Reduced levels of parking.
Reduced.
Okay. Because the question he asked, if we didn't, if all we were doing was making sure there was adequate parking, then we couldn't approve literally anything in Deep Elm. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But there was a staff recommendation for approval. So can you correlate the fact that there's reduced parking levels and there's still not enough parking with staff's position that they're recommending approval, or they don't see parking as a problem? Let me rephrase it.
Well, there are parking opportunities in the area. This applicant must provide 11 spaces in order to meet his requirement. However, there is a pay lot, a $5 a space pay lot, adjacent to the property, and it has about 170 spaces there. There is on-street parking available, and there is alternative transportation via the DART station. And all of those factors played into our decision to recommend approval.
All right. Let me not try to get too far afield here, but why I'm concerned about this, do you happen to know what the occupancy permit for this particular business will be issued at? The number of occupants?
334.
How much?
334.
334. Okay. So, and do we have any idea? And here's where I'm coming from. I've got a problem with a similar establishment in my part of town that has an occupancy of 2,200 people, because by fire code, that's how many people are allowed in there. By code, it's only required to have 211 parking places. And the adjoining neighborhoods have a severe problem because the other 1,800 and whatever the reciprocal of that is, are parking everywhere else and sucking up all the parking. So there seems to be a disconnect for this type of an establishment and our code in regards to parking. And so that concerns me. You said that there's an adjacent, how many, 100 and whatever?
About 170 spaces.
170, and this, and they're going to have 11.
And they have to provide 11.
11.
And
that's 181.
Right.
So where are the 150-some-odd other people? I mean,
well, there,
do they carpool or?
There is additional surface parking on the south side of Cullum. I mean, this is pretty close to Fair Park. There's a lot of surface parking available in the general area.
Well, I guess my concern is, and maybe you don't have the answer today, and I wish I had more time to deal with some of this, but there are other businesses there. I don't think that it's fair to say, and I'm not trying to pick on this business, but I don't think it's fair to say that the pay lot with 170 spaces that's immediately adjacent is going to be like reserved for this club.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, there's a lot of activity and participation of, you know, all sorts of patrons in Deep Elm. So have we gone down and done any kind of a casual survey as to how many spaces appear to be there on a Friday and Saturday night? Because my concern is if you don't provide enough parking in one way or another, then maybe this is not a good use there, as Ms. Davis is saying.
We have not done that traffic analysis, nor did the applicant submit.
I'm talking about a parking more than traffic. I mean, traffic on
right.
along that park in Deep Elm is not good. It doesn't matter. We're going to have to live with that.
Right. We have not done a parking analysis.
My asking you what I've asked you, would that change anything with regard to staff's position as you and Mr. Cossum are standing there today wanting to maybe go do some work so that at least one council member can vote one way or the other with adequate information?
We're happy to do that work, sir.
And how long would that take?
2 weeks. Yes, we'll have it done in 2 weeks.
In what?
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. All right. Well, let me just ask Ms. Davis, and I respect your thesis. You may not want this, and I may not want it either. But is there any way we could get staff 2 weeks to get us the information, Ms. Davis? Hold this for 2 weeks while we get some parking information from staff to go along with the recommendation?
Can I have Jane and Deb, can y'all come up? I want to ask them one thing. Looking, and you live and work over there. Tell me about the overflow of traffic when the club was there.
Well, here's the deal. They've got their parking agreement 800 feet away from the club. Now, and realistically, we know that that's not going to be used. 11 spaces. I realize that that's a legal parking that they've required them to have, but all those parking lots around them are, and they're owned by other people. And what happens, the clients come to the club, they take up the street parking. It's gone. Okay, so after that, they go to those commercial lots. And that's where they're going to park. Now, after that, I don't know where they're going to go. But I also have a statement about those commercial parking lots, which are they've been deemed illegal. They don't have COs on them. They're not running legally. Now that's a fact. I've got it. I don't know if I've got it with me, but I've got a letter from one of your code inspectors that confirmed that. And they're basically, if they're using those lots and they're taking money for them, they're breaking the law.
None of this stuff has CO on it.
So what happens, okay, they come down, they take up the street parking. Okay, we've got garages up and down those streets, Commerce Exposition. At 2 or whatever in the morning, we get these calls. Okay, somebody's parked in our garage. There's somebody blocking the garage door. Well, you know, what I'm talking about are people that come down to that area that really don't have a whole lot of respect for what we've done or what we have or who's there. It's like we come down, we visit, we leave. That's it. So what if somebody gets, you know, trashed on or whatever? But you know, the parking situation, I mean, if you want to delay this, that would probably be good. I mean, I could give you a lot of facts you probably don't have. Does that answer your question?
Yes, and the other thing, the resident that lives there, when we have a hard time now. When you go there at 6 o'clock in the evening, there's not enough parking anyway. So, and then we have some other issues going on with the parking lot itself. So that's a whole nother issue. It's some problems. It's some major problems. And so do we get staff, take your staff a year to work this problem out?
1 week. What I'm asking, Ms. Davis, is if we can delay this for 2 weeks, it'll be back on our agenda in 2 weeks, that staff within the next week can get the parking information. My concern is one of the keys of issuing an SUP is that you not have detrimental impact on the community. And so I want to feel sure that either there is or is not. And based on what I'm hearing now, I'm not sure. I'm don't mind telling you, I think that there may be a parking problem. And if staff comes back and says that there is, it makes my mind up. One way or the other.
And I'd also add there's other issues. I mean, clearly from what was said, there's an issue of use, but yet I look at the report and it says it's very consistent.
Right.
It says there's residential, but I look at the report that came to staff and says that it fits right in with the other uses that are involved in it. Traffic was raised, but yet we had a traffic engineer. It's in the report that there's no traffic. But I'm just seeing a lot of inconsistency. If nothing else, I'd like the staff to come back in 2 weeks and help resolve these.
So, would it be okay if you changed your motion, Ms. Davis, to hold
for 2 weeks? Well, I just won't.
And we'll hear it in 2 weeks whether the staff's done or not.
So, what I'm asking, Gene and Mr. Austin, can you come up here, please? Gene, the state. I would like to meet with both of you guys together. So, I have no problem in delaying this for 2 weeks because we got a bigger issue here. Your overflow, you know, overflow. So don't give me that look, Mr. Austin. it's the overflow. That's one issue. Then the parking issue. That's another issue. I don't have a problem waiting 2 weeks if it's concerns to my colleague about the parking issue. But at this point, I'm just curious to see what staff is going to say myself.
If that's your motion, I second it.
Okay. Right. It's been moved to second. And I would also add to that, staff, that I want Teresa, I think you've got to address the broader question that I raised too. Because if the parking's the issue and this is it, then what does this do to Deep Ellum across the board? Because we've got a major investment in that community, and if that's what the issue is, then we are looking at additional pieces coming in that are going to have an enormous economic impact. So, okay, it's been moved in second.
And may
yeah, keep the public hearing open. Go 2 weeks. Moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify.
And may I say this before we do the second? I've also asked Gene and his staff, I'm going to meet with Craig Hogan and Chris Luna. We got the exposition gateway that we're starting. It's to sit down, and I'm going to get with Ms. Madrano to sit down and look at Deep Ellum as a whole. We have lost so many businesses down there because of some of the bars. Everything has just moved away. It's almost like a ghost town down there now. Nothing is hardly there. We have some businesses that's still there. So now I want to pull a meeting together so we can talk about the long-term future of where do we take Deep Ellum? Where do we take exposition in Deep Ellum? And so now, I mean, it is not what it used to be. People have moved out. So we got some concerns in that area on how we're going to fix some of the problems.
And maybe articulate a little bit better what this business is, because I heard it's less of the bar and more of the entertainment, which is the draw to get in. So I'd like some resolution of exactly what the business is when you come back to us,
okay,
too, Teresa. Moved and seconded, defer 2 weeks, leave the hearing open. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. We have some work to do. Madam Secretary, item number 63, please.
Yes, item number 63 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a neighborhood stabilization overlay on properties zoned a single-family district in an area generally bound by the center line of the alleys north and south of Desco Drive between Hillcrest Road on the east and Edgemere Street on the west.
Mr. Mayor, within 119 notices, property owners have been turned to their request, received 44 replies in favor and 10 replies in opposition. We require a majority to approve this.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Planning Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Ms. Bartolin, please.
This is a very, very small NSO that is requesting changes that are really pretty minute. They already have something that I became familiar with only recently, and that is a platted building line at 25-foot setback, which gives them rights to 25-foot setback, except that when they first started investigating the possibility of an NSO, the city didn't identify that. And so they want to kind of reestablish that they already have a 25-foot setback. They don't have. They have a 50-foot setback. The zoning is 25, but they've got 50. And so really all they're doing is adding additional 3-foot setbacks on the side yards. They're really not making much of a change at all, and there's overwhelming support. 38 in favor out of 52 opposed, and the surrounding parcels, there was very little response, indicating to me that it's really not much of an issue. So I move approval.
Moved. Seconded by? Yeah. Do I have a second? Mr. Allen, second. Mr. Newman, please.
Mayor.
Please.
I want to reinforce to the council and to Ms. Margolin and to staff, we've all fretted over NSOs that have come before the council this year, last year, year before, since we've created these NSOs. This is the type of NSO that's easy to support, because when they turned in the petition on September 25th, it says 81% of the properties. And what was the latest percentage of the, Ms. Margolin?
In favor?
Yes.
Well, there's 76% of those responding.
So my what I'm reinforcing is this shows a clear majority of the property owners involved, engaged, and are supportive. And when you have that, it's easy to be supportive of that. When it's this narrower band that we sometimes deal with, that's what makes it havoc. And Mayor, you've seen us all go through the gut-wrenching process of neighborhood against neighbor. I'm saying this is the way it's easy to pass an ordinance and put in place. These others, that the narrow band is something we should be very cautious about. Thank you, Mayor.
And as, again, we've talked about this year, it will go back to committee to look at the overlays and so all of those pieces of it to see if there isn't a better way that we can get around exactly what you're saying, Mr. Newman, of pitting one group in a neighborhood versus another. I agree with you. We've seen that too much. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to Order 64?
Item 64 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding a City Plan Commission authorized hearing on property zone a portion of subarea number 1 and a portion of subarea number 2 within Plan Development District 366, the Butner Special Purpose District, with consideration being given to and an ordinance granting a new subarea within Plan Development District number 366 on the east side of Butner Boulevard between Military Parkway and Ricardo Drive.
Yes, sir. We sent 143 notices to property owners. We received 13 replies in favor and 6 replies in opposition. It requires the majority to approve this.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor, please come forward at this time and state your name and your address for the record. You have 2 minutes to speak.
My name is Doug Hunt. My home address is in Ovilla. My business address in this area is 3421 South Buckner. My property is located in almost the center of this overlay, and I've had the property for about 10 years, and I'm in favor of this. I think it will help stabilize the area and take out maybe some of the businesses in the area that are not as well-adjusted in wanting to maintain a good front in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else who would like to speak? Oh.
Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. I'm Shirley Stock. I'm the president of the Piedmont Homeowners Association. I'm also the volunteer and patrol officer, and I'm also on the Southeast Dallas representative for the Crime Watch Executive Board. So I get out on the street and I see a lot of crime. And I will tell you that up and down Buckner, in front of this area, we see quite a lot of prostitutes and drugs being used. So we feel, excuse me, we feel that this rezoning will help eliminate a lot of the problems that we have in this area. We're also working really hard to get good businesses in our area, and the new zoning will have a very positive impact on that. Carl Raines from the Dallas Southeast Chamber of Commerce asked me to remind you that he sent a letter in support of this issue. He regretted that he could not be here today, but he does want to remind everyone that the Chamber supports this issue, as well as the Homeowners Association and all of the other areas of the people in our area. The residents, we've canvassed a lot of our area to find out exactly what would be the best, and they've all asked that we try to have this issue come through. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This area is primarily District 4. I'm going to yield and allow Mr. Caraway to speak first, and then I will come back with a motion that Mr. Caraway and I have discussed.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hill. Let me say, folks, there is no doubt about the effect that motels have had in our community, the hot sheet motels type of establishments with crime, drugs, and prostitution. There's an ordinance that's currently on the books that we have been governing the motels by, and fortunately, when you look at the Lancaster Corridor, in which both Ms. Hill and myself share that in conjunction with Councilman Atkins and Madrano and Ms. Davis as well. We had the hot sheet motels there. In our fight and our quest to clean up the area, now in District 5, across from Veterans Hospital, the Urban League, they are beginning to build a brand new learning center, and the revitalization of the Lancaster Corridor is now no longer just a dream. It is something that is happening. It has been such a fight in trying to bring quality retail, economic development, a better quality of life to communities when you're dealing with these types of establishments that rent by the hour, that folks can just come and go. Ms. Hill and I, we both spoke on this issue. We share it. Buckner Terrace and the Southeast Chamber and the rest of Pleasant Grove and all around Piedmont, Hill, all everywhere. This has been a problem in that area as well. What we've done And what Ms. Hill has done as well is we've tweaked it and looked at it to figure out how we can not make sure that a Hilton Hotel or a Holiday Inn or Lowe's Anatole could ever or never be built in these areas. But at the same token, we have to be cognizant of the types of establishments that have kept us strangled and the community held hostage. So with that, I think, Ms. Hill, you're going to introduce some legislation that I'm in support of that will help us meet our goal, and our goal being to not have these types of motels, but not limit the future establishment of things that could come to pass. So, Ms. Hill.
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Carraway is correct. We are keeping out what we don't want, but we do not want a prophylactic that will also keep out what we do want. Ms. Stark was correct that we are wanting to bring in certain types of business in that area. We want to keep out the prostitution drug hotels, but we want to bring in the Fairfields and the Hilton Gardens, and we have come up with a way to do that. We want to keep out certain amusement uses, but we want to bring in others, such as a bowling alley. If we had a chance to bring in a bowling alley, we want it. And so we have come up with a way that will keep out what we don't want and will allow us to bring in what we do want, but also continues the control that this council has and that the neighborhood has through the SUP process. Having said that, I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission recommendations for approval with the following changes. A hotel use is allowed in sub-area 6 by SUP only and must have more than 60 guest rooms. A commercial amusement inside use in sub-area 6 is treated as if it were a CR community retail district. And that last part would get us the kinds of uses we wanted, if we want them, such as a skating rink or a bowling alley. But others that we may not want, such as a dance hall, would be permitted only through the SUP process, which means we retain control of the process. And so, colleagues, that is my motion.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Mr. Cadane, do you want to make a quick introduction?
I did. I'd like to introduce... And I wanted to wait till we got through with the case. The gentleman, Mr. Hunt, who is actually Councilman Hunt from Ovilla, and I just wanted to thank you for coming down and acknowledge you. So it's good to have you with us.
We appreciate you being
from Ovilla.
Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, item 65, please.
Item 65 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for a specific use permit for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zone plan development district number 269, the Deep Ellum, near East Side Special Purpose District on the southwest corner of Elm Street and Good Latimer Expressway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 20 notices to property owners within 2 or 3 of their requests, received 5 replies in favor, 1 reply in opposition. However, due to the denial by the City Plan Commission, it will require a favorable vote of 3/4 City Council to approve this case.
And 2 seconds.
Is there anyone that wants to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission, which is to deny? The City Plan Commission's recommendation is to deny. So if you're in opposition to their recommendation to deny, please come forward.
So you're for the project. You're for the... Okay, watch all your comments. People that are for the project will be speaking now.
I got it.
For the project. Against the Planning Commission because it was denial, so this is for the project.
State your name and address for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Audra Buckley, 2700 Swiss Avenue, Dallas, Texas. I am the representative for the applicant in this case. When we first submitted our application, we did not supply parking. We asked for the SUP to cover the entirety of the building, which was 10,600 square feet, and we'd asked for a five-year SUP. If you don't ask, you don't know. The answer is always no. So, staff did not agree with our five-year term. The recommendation was two-year term. Originally, we didn't have to provide the parking as per code, so we thought. And since that time, CPC took a look at it, and they recommended denial based on the fact that we hadn't provided parking. They did not want to approve a five-year term. They wanted a two-year term and the overall size of the bar. So to address these three things, we will be providing parking. 106 spaces will park the entire building. It will include 6,300 square feet of bar, and then on the first floor, the remainder of the square footage will be a restaurant, a full-service restaurant. So, I'm sorry. Was that everything?
Okay.
So we're going to provide the parking. We're going to reduce the time. And we've also reduced the
scale. You addressed the issue that was raised earlier.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Michael Coker, 2700 Swiss Avenue, Dallas, Texas, representing the applicant as well. I think that my colleague has indicated how we've addressed the concerns that were brought to us by the City Planning Commission, and we believe that we're in a pretty good position to be an asset to the community and look forward to a request and approval of our application as it's been amended. We'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC? You're speaking in favor?
I'm just not completely clear. I understand two things. One is the restaurant included in this proposal or is it not? The 2,500-foot restaurant. So I would be in favor or would I?
Why don't you make your comment on what you want?
Okay. Okay.
Name and address first.
Yes, okay. Barry Andino, Deep Ellum Foundation President. What I'm in favor of and what I'm against, I'm against a 9,000-foot club, as per se. I'm in favor of the club along with the restaurant on the first floor. I think we agreed to that, the 2,500 feet. Okay. I did want to answer Mr. Rozanski's question. We do have 2,250 parking spaces in Deep Ellum, but we don't want to use them all up in one night. So, again, I'm in favor of this proposal with the restaurant.
Okay. Which restaurant? Go ahead. Mr. Mayor, we have a restaurant on the first floor. It takes up the entirety of the first floor. We've moved the bar to the second and third levels in the facility. The building itself is three stories, over 10,000 square feet. We've reduced the size of the bar so that we could increase the floor area for the restaurant on the first floor. The restaurant is a use that's allowed by right in the zoning district, and therefore it doesn't have to have the SUP. The SUP is just for the second and third floors with the bar.
But you have the restaurant and the bar.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Ms. Hill, you want to begin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the SUP in accordance with the staff's recommendation, which would include the following conditions. The SUP would be for 2 years, no automatic renewals, parking agreement required for a CO, must have at least 2,500 square feet of restaurant, no outdoor speakers, and cannot cover outdoor patios. I so move.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Davis, please.
I have a question I must ask. We just finished talking about Deep Ellum. We just finished. And this is...
I'm going to come back.
This is still a part of Deep Ellum. Do we wait
and put all of the club, Mr. Mayor? I guess the question, do we wait and put all the conversation into one, since this is still a part of the Deep Ellum and does not have issue with parking? I guess that's what I'm asking. It's no issue with parking like the one I had.
The parking is covered in my motion.
And what's that?
The parking agreement would be required for the CO.
But I think, once again, I would think that we would need to wait just as we waited on mine for 2 weeks because we have an issue with parking.
At least what I'm interpreting the motion is there's not a feeling that there is the same issue on parking.
There's not an issue.
So there's not an issue with parking.
Is that fair, Mattel?
That is correct.
So it has enough parking. So, okay.
Yeah.
And so so it has enough parking. So there is... Okay, please come up. Come up, I can't hear you. I just want to make sure we're fair and balanced with all of it. We're talking Deep Ellum.
Absolutely. That's the same zoning that you're that where you are also. The first 2,500 feet is free, so the restaurant will not require parking. And the rest is, if it's a bar, it's a 1 per 100. So I think it'll be maybe 75
spaces. Okay. Mr. Kinski, please.
Is that all right?
And I'm going to support it. I'm going to support a motion, but I just want to make sure we're consistent if we're talking Deep Ellum.
Fair question. Mr. Kinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could I have Mr. Aninovsky come up?
Do you want me to come up?
Did you get that, Barry?
I'm only multitasking on one thing.
Well, I asked if Mr. Aninovsky could come up to the podium.
Yeah, I'm here.
Anyway, I'm certainly going to call Mr. Rosansky, who is no longer on the council.
I just saw his sign as I was driving up, so I don't know why I thought about it.
I'm going to assure him that he make a mental note of the fact that there is plenty of parking in Deep Ellum per Mr. Anino.
Thank you very much, Ron. I appreciate
it. Okay. Thanks, Barry.
We have the motion. The motion was made, and there were 2 seconds made, Mr. Atkins and Mr. Kadane. And for the record, by making a seconded motion, those two members represent that they have undertaken sufficient examination of all involvement while reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues that are involved. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, I think that brings us to 66.
Yes, sir. A public hearing to receive comments regarding consideration of amendments to Chapter 51A, the Dallas Development Code, to amend Section 51A4221, amending the definition of adult cabaret and adding a new definition for adult cabaret entertainment to make those definitions in 51A identical to the definitions in Chapter 41A and an ordinance granting the amendments. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this item?
Hello.
Anyone who would like to speak on this item? Mr. Mayor?
Motion?
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, 67, please.
Item 67 is a public hearing to receive comments on the proposed City of Dallas submission of an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for a Community Development Block Grant Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program loan in the amount of $5,500,000 to fund a loan for Lang Partners, LLC, for the acquisition of property at 1340 Plowman Avenue and to fund interest reserve, public infrastructure, demolition, and site improvements for development of 260 apartment units with 52 apartment units deed restricted for 15 years for affordable ability to families with incomes at 80% or less of the area median family income as established by HUD and retail and office space. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize number one, submission of the application to HUD for a CDBG Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program loan for Lang Partners LLC in amount not to exceed $5,500,000, and two, the city manager to submit the application and take necessary action in connection with the application submission. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Anyone that would like to speak? Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Newman, please.
Mr. Killingsworth. After a question or two, I'm going to make a motion, Mayor. Mr. Killingsworth, you and I visited additionally yesterday, and you said that this particular project has already gotten its first lien or the pre-approval or the invitation from the HUD for their 221D4 loan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so that's, we're, what, a couple steps away from final approval after council acts today?
What has to happen today is that this approves the 108 loan application going forward. The 221D4 tracks a separate approval process, but they already have their pre-approval subject to them lining up all of the financing, of which this is a piece of it.
The reason why I mention that, council members, is because this is, has several tiers of financing, and they've already, the applicant has already gone through and gotten this invitation from HUD in order to proceed, and that shows some very positive momentum and high probability that this project will actually get totally financed. In addition, there's $4.3 million of private equity being put in the deal. So I'm very positive about this. This is in a key area in Oak Cliff, and I'm excited about a quality. The developers are sitting up there, a threesome, a quality development for Oak Cliff with an affordable housing component. And so I think that's a very positive thing. So therefore, council members, I move approval.
It's been moved. I think there's 2 seconds from Mr. Cadena and Ms. Coop. And again, they're certifying additional research and analysis of this. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 68, please.
Item 68 is a public hearing to receive comments on the proposed City of Dallas submission of an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for a Community Development Block Grant Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program loan in the amount of $7,600,000 to fund a loan for FC Continental Complex LP for the conversion of a vacant commercial building at 1810 Commerce Street into 199 apartment units, with 40 units for individuals and families with incomes at 80% or less of the area median family income, as established by HUD, and to fund an interest reserve, and at the close of the public hearing, authorize number one, submission of the application to HUD for a CDBG Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program loan for FC Continental Complex LP in the amount not to exceed $7,600,000, and two, the city manager to submit the application and take necessary action in connection with the application submission. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Hilfley.
I move approval.
It's been moved and seconded by Mr. Atkins and Mr. Salazar. Ms. Margolin, please.
I won't belabor this because I've spoken about it at other meetings, but I won't be supporting it. I continue to believe that we are supporting a project that is costing way too much per unit and providing way too little in the way of affordable housing for what the city's getting, and so I will be voting against it.
Thank you. All those there signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, the record will show Ms. Margolin. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, item 69, please.
Item 69 is a public hearing to receive comments on proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as portable water beneath properties owned by Minion Food Stores Incorporated, located near the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert B. Cullen Boulevard, and adjacent street rights of way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Minion Food Store Incorporated by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as portable water. In addition, I'm going to read into the records pursuant to Section 51A6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this item?
Thank you.
Please state your name and your address for the record, ma'am.
Yes, my name is Kay Roska. I'm an attorney with Thompson & Knight, and the address is 1722 Roos Street, Dallas. We represent Minyard Food Stores, Inc. in connection with its application with the City of Dallas for a municipal setting designation. Together with me today is Steve Wimple with Water Earth Solutions and Technologies, Inc. He is a professional geoscientist who signed and sealed the application. Also is Wayne Pearson with Minyard Food Stores, Inc. We obviously support this application and are here to answer any questions anyone may have.
And the record will show that the requirement has been met on the engineer.
Okay. Is there... Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me, sir.
That's it.
That's it?
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this item?
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I would just like to know what is the... because I've seen this on the agenda before. What are we talking about? You know, I live over in the area, so what are we talking about as far as what's the difference as far as groundwater and potable water, affordable water?
Can I have the someone to come up and explain to Marvin?
But there are other people out here who are listening who want to know, who need to understand too.
But they've had some community meetings with
the well,
area.
But at the same time, there was no
question answer. This
Marvin.
Is your opportunity to make remarks. If you'd like to make remarks, you're welcome to do that.
Well,
it is not a question answer period, sir.
But that's why you have these people here. This your business or whatever you have to answer questions.
It's not
there.
For you to make comments in regard to the item on the agenda.
I would like to know what it means. I do not know as a citizen, and I have a right to ask that question.
Sir, this is not the venue.
Why do you have these people here? Why do you have these people here to answer questions if it's not the venue?
Okay. Is there any other comment?
Carolyn, you just need to get off of that stuff. Now, all of us don't come to your meeting. I just found out you had meetings last night, so how do I find out? I don't need anyone to come up to
there.
People who are looking at this thing and who are listening who want to know what you're talking about.
Are there any other speakers? Are there any other speakers?
But I'm not finished.
Please go ahead then. Time is going.
I think that it's just outrageous the way you do different things. As a citizen, I want to know exactly what that means, and I have a right to come down to this council to ask that question. That's why you have the people here who can answer it.
And you're welcome to meet any other time, and I'm sure our staff will do it. This is not
I ask, why we have a public hearing then?
Okay. Any other speakers?
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne. This is a place to get answers. You are not the first city council government down here. And this is a place where you come to get answers to questions. The city manager has the answers, or supposed to have someone down here who can answer people's questions. I don't live in that community, but if a community representative comes down here and wants information, they should be able to get it. And it's time for y'all to stop railroading citizens. It's really ridiculous what y'all doing down here. You've taken the vote away from the people. You got five-member committees with city council representatives on committees. They not no committee members. Y'all political representatives. People come down here to get answers, and y'all don't get nobody nothing but a runaround. And it's ridiculous because you're getting paid now.
Thank you. Any other speakers? For reference, and I appreciate the attorney pointing this out, this had better be relevant to the item. There was a public meeting that was held on November 2nd, 2009. There was ample opportunity for anybody that had questions to be able to ask for those. In addition, I'm sure our staff would be available at any time if somebody would like to meet with them.
May I?
Ms. Davis.
Can someone come up? This was on the last agenda. May I have a representative to come up from Minyard, please? The biotech, please. This is on the agenda about 2 weeks ago, and I did meet with the Minyard staff. I talked to them. about what was the problem at Martin Luther King, the Menard store, when it came to underground water contamination. Briefly, can you just give us briefly what the concern was?
Yes, ma'am. Basically, the property that the Menard property had been impacted by upgradient sources of contaminants and had a potential historical source of contaminants on its property, and had gone to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality to resolve this issue, which is appropriate to do. One of the resolutions is that when the shallow groundwater, which is not a drinking water source, mm-hmm. Is impacted with a contaminant, versus cleaning up that contaminant to the drinking water standard, since the water will not be used as a drinking water source, is that you can deed restrict that water such that people cannot use it for potable purposes. They can't drink it. They can't water the vegetable garden with it. They can't bathe in it. All of these things. And basically the ordinance that has been drafted by the city does prohibit those uses, and the city has enforcement power to address any abuse of that. And with respect to any other standards that apply to the cleanup, the applicant to the state has to meet all other applicable standards for the site to receive closure for the state. And the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality is the agency that looks and determines that it's healthy and safe in this context for cleanup.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mayor, I move approval of this agenda item 69.
Moved and seconded. Mr. Newman, please.
Yeah, I have a question. I don't know if it's for the attorney or for Menard. What's Menard's intentions here? Are you going to build a grocery store?
The grocery store's already there.
Oh, so the store's already in existence, though.
Yes, sir. There is a grocery store there, and it's an existing structure and long operating structure since probably, I think, about 1995 or so.
I'm very supportive of the motion. So why do you need the MSD designation if you already have a store in existence?
Well, anytime you have contamination on property, whether it's from upgradient or your own property, then you have to address it pursuant to state law, and this is what we're doing.
Did you buy, again, I'm supportive of the motion, so
yes.
Did you buy the property knowing that it had this condition?
I wasn't involved with Menard's at that time.
I don't mean you.
I understand. But and neither was the representative at this time because this changed hands from the family to a different ownership. But the point is that the contamination was discovered close to the time of purchase. At the beginning, there was an effort to close it by what we call the Innocent Owner Operator Program, where you would say if it's upgradient only, if there's no on-site potential source, you can get the state to close it from a regulatory perspective. But if there is any potential for any historical source, you can't. So we're in another program.
And knowing that, Mr. Councilmember Cadet, is extremely expensive the other way.
Okay.
And so this is why, talking to them, they wanted to come to the council. It'll be capped. It's a shadow of water that's not being used anyway, from my understanding.
Thank you. Thank you,
Mayor. That's correct.
Thank you. Mr. Salazar, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is very similar to what we're doing in West Dallas for the MSD.
Yeah.
So I think this is a positive move for the property owner. I think it obviously gives them the opportunity in the future to do further development on the site,
right,
without fearing that there will be a violation of any kind of state law regarding, you know, water remediation or contamination remediation control.
And that's what they explained to me.
Exactly. Thank you.
Sure. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, I think that brings us to the close of the agenda. Speakers, please.
Our first speaker is Umzumba Lex, followed by Gwang Wooten and Leslie Allen Davis. And while the speakers are coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant-at-arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak, and when you see the amber light, that means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. Please state your name and your address for the record, sir.
My name is Minister and Chief Ozuma Lunks, candidate for constable in Precinct 5, candidate for constable in Precinct 5. All power and glory due to God and my Savior Jesus Christ. Some people say the state and church is separate. I tell you, God is everywhere. And we wouldn't have to wonder what's transpiring as well today if we would do what God would tell us to do. A lot of these problems we have, we wouldn't be having. I can give you some prime examples, but I won't read them to you. I won't upset anyone. It clearly states, do not do this, do not do that, but we still do what man wants us to do. There is a judge that's more supreme than us, and God is first and last, Alpha and Omega. He will be the last judge. Here comes the devil. The financial clique, the political clique, politicians selling us out, voter fraud with absentee ballots. This election, I just want to say, there's going to be a lot of voter fraud, especially with absentee ballots. I ask the sons and daughters of the elder towns to look out for the people with absentee ballots. If anyone comes along and says, I'm working with those Zumba, and they ask for tea ballots, I don't know them. Nobody's working for me, okay? So if someone say they know me and they're working for me on the ask tea ballots, they're alive. I've been in politics since 1970. On the back side, there's maybe one person sitting on the council, but now that I work with and help people and their family or the council family. And I started out with Al Lipscomb in the 70s, and then I worked with Matty Nash. I was on the back burner. I helped a lot of people get elected in this city they don't even know about it. That's right. Been in politics about, 40 years now since 1970? I don't know. Started out with Al Lipscomb, like I said, with Matty Nash. And as you all know, our precinct 5 constable in the JP court, Louis Palmer, our judge there, I worked with him. You know, he was very inspirational in working against the lead smelters in West Dallas. And some of us were talking the other day about having a little party for Mr. Sepulveda. So Mr. Palmer, Judge Sepulveda, Precinct 5, we're going to have something for you, brother. Just stick around. And Mr. Newman, I love that tie, man. No, if you don't know how to tie, I'm going to teach you how to tie one, okay? God bless you all. Have a nice day. Ozuma Long, Precinct 5, comfortable, all right?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. God is everywhere.
Next speaker.
We can't get rid of God. We have to realize that.
Followed by Leslie Allen Davis.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwang Wooten. I'm a native born Dallasite with over 100 years roots in this city. And it's bad enough for me. I just don't see nothing going right in this town. Not for my people. My history has been erased. Like, black people never lived in two-story homes on Thomas Avenue. We never had private schools. We never had businesses and restaurants and nothing in this town. It just take they wouldn't never hear, which is a lie. But my subject is Emmett Till, Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King, John and Robert Kennedy. They were all murdered in this country. Emmett Till was assassinated for winking his eye at a white girl. Murdered, tortured, beat to death for winking his eye at a white girl. Now y'all talking about Tiger Woods having sex with him. So 50 years ago, he'd have been lynched just like Emmett Till was by your ancestors, not mine. Medgar Evers was shot in his yard, coming home to his wife, because he wanted a better education and civil rights for African American people. They killed him. Malcolm murdered while preaching about Allah, preaching God's word, shot down by two black guys. Martin Luther King was murdered in Memphis, Tennessee, for trying to help trash men get a better pay. Murder, nonviolent, beat the hell out of me and I'm going to take it because I love you. Killed him. Left his wife and children gone. John, that's the only one I saw. Saw him on Cedar Springs. On his way downtown, waving at him, smiling. The first time I ever seen a president in my life. Happy. Him and Jackal were smiling and waving and just as joyful as they could be. In right the thing, Harris off prison. By the time I got there, he was dead. And Robert, San Francisco, talking peace and unity and wanting to help the people. Giving. I just want to know what to get killed for. How did they die? Why are these people dead? What were they murdered for? That's my question I ask the world and you leaders in this country. Why were they assassinated? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, final speaker is Leslie Allen Davis, and I don't see him in the audience. So that's the end of the speakers, Mr. Mayor.
We're in recess. Thank you. We're adjourned.
At 2:34 p.m.